Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
I remember a time when money was especially tight. I was self-employed. I was writing and speaking, and there were a couple of events I did that then didn't end up getting paid for.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Matt Bell, talking about why your family matters more than money.
And I remember being very stressed about it, and I remember getting up in the middle of the night and going and looking in on our kids, and I just thought, this is what it's about. You know, the bills will get paid, things will work their way out, but don't miss the blessing that family is. Don't miss the blessing the kids are. They're a ton of work. You'll be stressed at times, you'll be worried at times, and there's nothing greater. There's no greater gift than family.
Finances may ebb and flow and your job might change, but your family is for a lifetime. Hear more from Matt Bell today about balancing your finances and your family at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
Now, the rest of the story. You could have come down to the park to watch him play any Sunday, and you'd hardly have believed your eyes, because Tom was an outstanding baseball player. He was more than outstanding. Tom was a natural. The young semi-pro quickly became the talk of the wharfside neighborhoods in San Francisco. He could play any defensive position with astonishing skill. And at the plate, there he was something to see. Sizzling line drives, mostly the kind that sting the ball so precisely that the infielders don't have time to react. As I say, Tom was a natural. He was not terribly tall, but he was powerfully built, agile as lightning, fast on the baseline. You could not keep talent like that secret if you wanted to, and so predictably, on one of those warm Sunday afternoons, a scout came down to Funston Grounds, a scout for the San Francisco Seals. Well, it was a good game, particularly for Tom. Tom looked very much like a major leaguer trapped on a sandlot. He ran, and he caught, and he hit, and he scored, and he scored. So impressed was the scout that he could hardly wait for the final out to approach this gifted young man. At last they met with a mighty hand clasp. There would be no need to file a time-wasting report. Tom was what the Seals wanted. It came down to only one question. How would you like to play in the Pacific Coast League? Well, Tom grinned. He had anticipated this day. He knew it was coming because he knew he was good, but he had not imagined the thrill. Would he like to play? Would he ever? Then Tom asked a question of his own. He did not want to appear unappreciative of the offer. But how much would the job pay? And a starting salary was mentioned. It was not impressive and it was not negotiable. Club policy. But surely it would not be long before Tom would be earning a fine living, doing what he did best. Tom frowned. It was a small salary. But the scout said, take it or leave it. Tom said he would have to leave it. For this is the rest of the story. Tom was the eldest of 9 children. He and his father worked on a fishing boat to support the family. Playing semi-pro on Sunday, Tom could help his dad during the week. It was Tom's duty as number one son. But unless he could earn enough playing baseball full-time to compensate his departure from the family business, he would have to say no. The Seals ball club was disappointed, but could make no exceptions. Just wait, said Tom. My brothers are going to be good ball players, too. And although that was true, it was generally agreed that Tom was the best of them all. He was a better fielder, a better runner. He was a better hitter. But Tom stayed home. continued as a fisherman to support the family, and bore that responsibility well. In fact, he remained a cherished advisor to all of the others of his brothers for the rest of his life. He was a natural. He was the best ball player in the family. He could have become one of the best big leaguers who ever was. But instead, Tom DiMaggio, remained the provider and the big brother to Vince and Dom and Joe. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Today I have Paso Robles City Councilman Chris Bausch on the show. We are going over a number of things in the city. We do have a text message. It says, I'd like Paso City Attorney to take a lie detector test about paid parking. What do you think about that, Chris?
Well, it's probably an interesting suggestion. I don't think she'll do that.
I don't think she'll do it either. I remember when all this came down, I had sent an email over. Attorney Saro Rizzo looked at this, and I thought something was wrong. And he said, no, that's not the issue. The issue is it wasn't done legally, this, and this. I put it together. I sent it over to Ty Lewis and the city attorney. Ty Lewis responded back very inappropriately. The city attorney waited about a week and then said that she'd found it on her own. It was a little bit interesting. I don't know why they didn't just say Saul Rizzo's an excellent attorney and we should thank him for doing this. Instead, she found it.
Well, I think other people in the community, Gary Lair, found it as well.
He found something else that wasn't...
Well, all right, yeah. True. But, I mean, there were a lot of people, not a lot, there was a handful of people finding irregularities with the whole process. And I think that's the beauty of a small community like Paso Robles. It takes three people on city council to get something done. And in the case of paid parking, we did not have three people. Three council members that wanted to get rid of paid parking, even though it was founded illegally, created outside of the norm. It took a citizen group, a group effort of different people from different parts of the community that came together and made this happen. Contrary to popular belief, there was no conspiracy. That was a grassroots effort that I think you got accused of forming a conspiracy. I know
accused. They claimed that you and I hosted the parking meetings, which were really about getting Ty Lewis out of office. First of all, I didn't go to one of the parking meetings. I've never hosted a meeting with Chris Bausch. This was completely fabricated by people trying to help Ty Lewis get a settlement. And people that are competitors of Cal Coast News, this was not true. And it caused a lot of damage to a number of people in the community.
It did. Extra stress, extra finances for attorneys, it wasn't good. But I think at the end of the day, the scheme was exposed. Paid parking had to go away. What hasn't happened are the refunds for the fines that were illegally assessed, in my opinion, or the permits that should have never been charged. So that, again, if we don't have like-minded people in city council, that will remain an unanswered question.
One of the things I do want to get into while you're here today, this time of year, the beginning of the fiscal year, there's always government agencies are required to have a balanced budget. And how did your budget process go this year?
It went well. In past Robles, it's a multi-month process. We start developing goals and plans and visions, and we started that last November. And we have a series of public meetings that the city council can chime in, staff can chime in, our advisory bodies can make comments, the citizens can make comments. So it's a very public process. Staff continues to do what staff does. They're the experts in this process. They're going to listen to our comments, and they're going to give us what we passed last night, a very detailed, I think it's over 250 pages, including a section on how to read the budget, which I'm not sure we've ever had. I've seen it in other publications that I've been associated with other enterprises, but this is the first time I've seen it for the city of Paso Robles. An excellent job to our city administrator, Ryan, who went out of his way to give us and break it down into digestible sections that we can get our handle on. The goals and the visions that the city council came to consensus on, and it took a while to get there, but they're reflected in the budget.
And for those that don't know, budgets, according to California law, while the staff will tell you what they want, making of the budgets is either the city council or the board of supervisors that they're responsible for. That's one of their big responsibilities, is approving budgets. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Good afternoon. I just wanted to add to what you were saying about the parking meetings and about the grassroots efforts of the community coming together to discuss the impacts of the parking and how would it cause any kind of disruption for the local businesses, primarily around the park. We attended, my parents and myself, all attended those meetings, and they were it was completely community-driven. It was absolutely the passion of the people that was coming together to share their concerns, their ideas of what could work if we could find a happy medium. It was a fair and balanced exercise of community and people, and it's something we're very grateful worked out, because we honestly didn't believe that they even were listening to us, other than Chris Bausch, I will say, and I met him in that process, and I was so grateful for you, Chris.
Thank
that you.
You
listened to the people. I didn't feel that any other ears were open, and we are abundantly grateful for your position and your heart and your concern for Paso Robles.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for saying so. What I'm grateful for is people like yourself and so many others that really put sometimes their business and their own reputations on the line and at risk for being very outspoken and trying to get council and city manager to listen to reason. The process worked. This is an excellent example of the democratic process where the community comes together. And unfortunately, we had to force city council to listen to us rather than city council saying, oh, well, there's an idea. We should run with that.
Exactly.
So thank you so much for taking leadership role in that and making that happen.
One of the really big highlights for me was probably around 6 months ago, there was a lady from SLO that came to KPRL to talk about the parking in San Luis Obispo and how that was a massive example that the city was giving on what a success it had been and all the money that they had raised and just what a wonderful program parking is, and we should all just rally around it and embrace it. But now to hear that these merchants in San Luis Obispo in the downtown area are suffering terribly because of specifically the high prices of parking, the unwavering support of the merchants in the parking process, and it was kind of ironic because they were telling us that flow was the example. And so I'm just so grateful. It does take a lot of time. It's a huge commitment to come down there. And, you know, but that's what we, if you care enough about a topic, we've got to come together as a community to support what is best for Pastor Robles, but let the prevailing voice be heard. Not everyone's right. Everybody has their input. We should listen to all parties.
Hey, I agree completely. Let me ask a question, if I may. Are there any other issues? Parking was major. That was just huge.
Major.
Are there any other issues? They could be minor issues. What else would the city benefit listening to our citizens? What else should we be paying attention to?
I'm very cautious. I feel very passionate about the post office, to be frank. It doesn't look right that you drive up to our post office and that little medium could be so easily maintained. I honestly think to myself, who can I get together to help maintain this medium that makes the post office look like a third world country?
I forget the term, but we're going to lose the non-functioning turf spaces for all commercial buildings, courtesy of Sacramento, and water conservation. So
interesting.
The post office might intentionally or otherwise be one step ahead of us by taking out that landscaping that was in that median strip. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, some succulents can do well in the direct sun, but there's something we can do. There's always something we can do, right? Even if it's a rock landscape that's, you know, something that says Paso in rocks. I don't know, but there's got to be something we can do together that makes us look a little better. And the Golden Hill sign, as you're leaving town and coming into town, that one street sign is just dilapidated at the four corners of Golden Hill and 46. If they could just update the street signs, I just imagine all the money that comes into the city, these little things that kind of go unnoticed maybe, and I think it speaks a lot about our community. A lot of people don't stop in Paso because they see it as like a gas station stop between the two big major municipalities or cities between San Francisco and L.A., but the people that do stop find this absolute heaven of beauty and people.
Yes.
And so I just think we should reflect that in our entrances and exits.
I think there might be something in the works for that. I don't know that it made our budget process, but I know we have talked about updating our monument signs. So thank you for confirming that needs to be attention. Thanks.
Thank you very much for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Well, first of all, I'd like to tell Chris, out of all the city council members, Pastor Robles, you appear to be the only one that has made sound decisions when it comes to voting on issues. And, a lot of us really appreciate the fact that, you know, your voice speaks for a lot of us. And during the parking fiasco, there was a division in our community that was amazing in regards to how many people were just turned away from the city council and the functions of the city council. Right. And it appears that since we've gone beyond that and put the city council in a position where they understand where they stand as far as the community, I would hope that they would come up with an understanding as to why they have not dealt with our city streets, our infrastructure, and why we're having to come across with the same kind of battle that we did with the parking situation, only we've been fighting this one longer than the parking situation.
I appreciate your comments and your kind words. Thank you. The road situation I know it's not nearly as fast as people would hope, but the road solution is coming. We'll spend almost $16 million just on Creston Road, the second part of Creston Road. Commerce, that everybody has complained about for and rightfully so, Commerce Way will be repaired starting fairly soon. There's still some infrastructure issue, underground stuff that has to happen. But by having the funds to do that via the half-cent sales tax and saving that money on an annual basis, that you can do a large project rather than going out and borrowing the money, we'll be able to get more work done. So so many projects are coming up to being the design phase is being completed. Once that design phase is done, you'll see the city engineer start to release those out for bid and completion. So bear with us just a little bit longer. Help is on the way.
Okay, Chris, I understand that, and that is a good answer for my question. But my concern, and I think a lot of other people's concern, is that the city council, instead of looking at this at an alarm, they're just saying, okay, we've got the works, we're doing this, we're doing that, but yet approving building of more structures that are going to put more stress on our community streets and infrastructure. Now, at what point do we get the city council to realize we need to put a halt to all of this new building and put some emphasis on repairing what we have? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I'm going to take you that word improving or repairing what we have. We have to, in some case, make that traffic flow better. The traffic engineers that have studied this problem assure us that the roads are adequate. Our signalization isn't right. We need to add another section of Airport Road to help relieve some of that traffic on the east side when these homes go in. Those kinds of things still have to happen. The signalization optimization is coming. It seems like it's taking longer than we thought. So you're right.
And I'm going to have to take a break. Thank you for calling. Now I'm going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with Chris Bausch.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks finished sharply lower and bond yields surged after the Fed held its benchmark interest rate steady, with some officials hinting at the possibility that their next move would be to raise rates. New Fed Chair Kevin Warsh told reporters that the Fed has the capability to deliver on its 2% inflation target, and that's what they're going to do. All of the 11 S&P 500 sectors were lower. Chip stocks are among the gainers. However, the Magnificent Seven big cap tech stocks were lower, and shares of Elon Musk's SpaceX fell nearly 6% after an amazing rally that propelled its shares nearly 50% above its IPO price. The Dow winners, Caterpillar, Goldman Sachs, and JP Morgan Chase. The Dow decliners, Microsoft, Home Depot, and Sherwin-Williams. The Dow falling 507 points, the NASDAQ lower by 355, S&P 500 down 91. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Midstate Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote, on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Midstate Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidstatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday. What's the latest news in Paso Robles? It's the grand reopening of the San Paso Truck Stop. The nationally acclaimed cheapest price fueling station in the county is launching its grand opening after a year of historical remodeling restoration. Tired of recent high gas prices? San Paso Truck Stop ranks among the lowest fuel prices in the state. The San Paso Truck Stop has everything you need for busy families and truckers alike. Find out why everyone is traveling to the corner of Wellsona Road and Highway 101. That's the San Paso Truck Stop, open 24/7.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday. And I have Chris Bausch, Councilman Chris Bausch on the show. We have another caller. What would you like to ask Chris today?
Hi, how are you folks today?
Doing great.
You know, something that was said a little earlier, I think is very important for your listeners to understand. And that is the mention of just how hard it is for our elected officials to actually serve as a voice for the people that got them elected to begin with. The city managers across the map here have far too much control of that agenda. Nothing can make it on the agenda unless they say it makes it on the agenda. It takes 3 out of 5 of the people who sit on that council to even force something on the agenda. This is why nothing important is ever addressed. The manager has 100% control.
You're right about trying to get things on the agenda. My understanding is that we are supposed to bring something, if we want to get it on the agenda, we're supposed to bring it to the rest of the council during a meeting. We do this at the end of the meeting. And if the majority of the council, other council members agree with you, then the city manager is supposed to put it on a future agenda. Doesn't necessarily say when the future agenda is. For example, we had 2 issues last night that I brought up. One is the endowment for our senior center out on Scott Street. It's dwindling. We're using that up at an alarmingly fast pace. How do we restore that? City Council agreed with me that should be addressed. That will come back after staff has a chance to research that and give us option. The other issue that I am concerned about are data centers. Other cities are taking preemptive steps to prevent data centers from coming to their cities. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I do want to be informed by it on how that could impact Paso Robles. So I asked for an information item to come back in the future. Fortunately, city council members agreed with me, so that too will come back. I don't often get my suggestions approved because sometimes they're not like parking. And you know, how do we get rid of paid parking, or how do we address auditing and reviewing BBK? I can't get agreement on those kinds of issues. But you're right. City manager ultimately has the authority to put on or deny agenda items.
That's a lot of control, sir. And another concern of mine is from what I personally have seen through my travels here is all of the city managers and attorneys across the map seem to take their cue from the California League of Cities. When we have somebody that is an elected official comes in, you see actually paid for where the manager has it all arranged to send people to the California League of Cities to be trained our officials don't need to be trained. They need to keep their political words and listen to we the people.
Part of that training, guilty as charged, I was sent to a League of California Cities meeting by Mayor Steve Martin, God rest his soul. The idea is that there's an awful lot of mandatory training as an elected official that you are obligated by the state of California to take, ethics training, Brown Act training, so forth. And you go to your first League of California Cities meeting and those classes are provided for you. The other benefit of going to the League of California Cities meeting, they give you seminars, they bring in speakers, breakout sessions, they have general seminars, and then it's a time to get to know other elected officials from across the state. If I recall correctly, every city in California belongs to the League of California Cities except for four of the major cities. I think Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Jose, and maybe San Diego don't belong to the league. Every other city belongs to that. That's a lot of power right there.
Thank you very much for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Chris Bausch today?
Well, I'd just like to make the comment that I find, except for Chris, the entire city council, including the city attorney, to be morally bankrupt. The mayor was able to run a personal vendetta, rack up all these huge legal bills. Ty Lewis was able to make unfounded accusations against me and I think four or five other people, you, Karen Bailey, with no background. And the city attorney, nobody, the city manager, nobody says, you're out of control of that line. I am so mad. Why was I paying for a business license in Paso Robles when the Halls got one? And you know the whole background behind that. I thought when I was paying my business license, it showed that I was an upstanding citizen who was obeying. At any rate, this is all unraveling. The Halls have been in the news. Fender's got more conspiracy theories out there. Frankly, by the time the election gets rolling around, I don't know if there's going to be an issue anymore. But, you know, I'm pretty steaming mad about how Hammond was able to run the city like it was his own personal fiefdom.
And this thing with them, I do want to bring up, Pinder had been doing a radio show at another station, and he ended up losing his show, but he claimed that people had made complaints to the FCC and he was having problems, and he was forced out. But you did a records request and asked the FCC for any complaints. Can you tell us what they responded back with?
Nothing.
There were absolutely no complaints?
Nothing. No.
There were complaints for other things at KVC, but not Pinder or his show. That was not true.
I got three responses. None of them named Pinder personally, but there was not one single. Nobody said, you got to take Pinder off the air. And I don't know if that was, frankly, I'm just kind of flabbergasted because he said there was a whole group of people. I only know that I told KVC that Pinder was spewing disinformation, sent them a write-up on how he had pretty much was totally inaccurate about things that he had said about the way that you covered the granary fire, Karen. And, you know, he had every chance, he had every opportunity to respond to me and say, no, but he never responded. He always used it as a, and I think I mentioned this last, he always just, his method of defense is attacking me and asking me, did you really graduate from Cal? Well, I guess University of Oregon thought so because they admitted me into their graduate school. I didn't finish, but at least I got into the graduate school. I actually have journalism classes and journalism experience. I don't think he has any, and he's attacking me. Just come up with some facts. And when you ask him for facts, I don't see that he has any facts. I think that he makes up a lot of stuff and labels it as satire so he doesn't get called out for defamation. That's a lot of, which shows me he has no...
Gary, you were big part of the parking solution.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. The As I asked the previous caller, what other issues do you think that might be a good cause for citizens to take action on?
Well, there's got to be some accountability. People got to ask that Elizabeth Toll's work is audited by somebody who's not connected, probably somebody who's out of state. I think somebody needs to look at the way that the business license and with the advocacy for the cannabis dealers was. I think they need to go back and see if the city is hiding. There seems to be a lot of research if the city is actually hiding issues regarded to the police and things that Glenn O'Hagan has brought up. I think that they ought to write a. We need a law in Paso Robles that says that a bond measure will not go into the general fund. That it will be just strictly go into. I think was it I-20, where that should have gone right into roads, should not have gone into the general fund, and then they run up high bills on the general fund with all the legal stuff. And if the city gets low on money, then where are they going to go? They're going to have to go to I-20 money to pay off those legal bills. That's where I would start, is putting some checks and balances into the way the city government is run. Maybe we need an ombudsman or somebody to be able to go in between the citizens and the management. An ombudsman might have said, you know, look, you've got no Mayor Hammond has no basis here. And my point was is that if you allow Hammond to run the city like this, it's just going to go. That's going to be his legacy. That's what's going to happen. And now you've got a couple of candidates who are running with his lies and his myths about what you cost the city. When you, in fact, you saved the city a ton of money by showing that you had adhered. So from my point of view, those are some of the things. I'd say another issue would be why do we need somebody $200,000 a year for a homeless advocate or something like that? I mean, the state spent $24 billion for being double taxed, for being taxed locally and at the state level and at the federal level to deal with all these things.
I think that might be a good topic to talk about here in a minute. We'll talk about a grant that just is one way. But good to hear from you. I appreciate your calling in. Thank you.
Thank you for calling
in. Thank you.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Chris?
Yes, I had called in earlier, but he had reminded me of more important things than the two things I mentioned about what in the city would be of any concern. I've done a little research on the data center information, and from what I can gather, there's infrastructure going in, but there's no data center coming to Paso Robles, but there is a data center in SLO, I guess, at Cal Poly. I was curious about that, but also very concerned about the water tax as well. So I'm very aware of those things, but I'm curious from Chris, kind of his stance and where we are with those.
So the infrastructure going in, I think that might be conflated with the fiber optics infrastructure that's going in now. The fiber optic was being planned long before data centers became in vogue. We need the fiber optics. I don't think that means that we're going to get a data center anytime soon. As far as the water tax, I think you're referring probably to the Paso Robles Groundwater Authority. We're told that is a mandate from the state of California that if we don't have something like a management to keep an eye on the water basin, then the state will come in and do it for us. We have until 2040 to get this done, but it seems that Bruce Gibson and others want to get this done now. My personal opinion is that there are better ways, less expensive ways to satisfy the requirements from the state, but we refuse to look at those because a few people want an extra form of government. I look at the Paso Robles Groundwater Authority as similar to IWPA. What are they going to accomplish for us, and at what expense? And what's the oversight? Do we absolutely, can we do this a better way without costing citizens literally millions of dollars? Starting, the taxes starting with the large water users, you can be assured that eventually it'll come down and it'll hit every user of the groundwater. All overliers will pay for it.
Hey, thank you very much for calling in. We got to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with one last segment with Chris Bausch.
Do you use propane? At Delta Liquid Energy, you can pre-buy your winter propane gallons to lock in your price. Fuel prices fluctuate, so with Delta Liquid Energy, you can take advantage of potential pre-buy savings. To learn more, contact Delta Liquid Energy before June 30th. Family-owned and operated, call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
Junior, you know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to slowcountyhearingaids.com.
Sign up now for Tips for the Master, a trainer's trainer, Gary Whiting, who has trained Olympic and extreme athletes Sunday, July 19th at Kennedy Club Fitness starting at 2. 40 years ahead of the science, you'll learn about nutrition, intestinal cleansing, and lots more. Learn from the master, Gary Whiting, the formula for the optimal lifestyle and the 7 laws of radiant overall health. Tips from the Masters, Sunday, July 19th at Kennedy Club Fitness starting at 2. Find out more info at GaryWhiting.com.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday. Tomorrow I will have Eric Gorham on. He's going to be talking to Dan Dow at the first of the show and then the cattlemen. You need to be listening. Now, we got another text. Can we talk about how Paso Robles Police Department is now encrypted, meaning their radios cannot be heard publicly? Can it be switched back? Now, Paso Robles copied the city of Slo. They're the only city in this county that does not want people to be able to hear what the police are up to. Paso now is also doing it. The sheriff department and all other police departments can be heard on the scanner traffic.
What little I know about it, and it's not much, so I'm probably not a reliable authority on this, but it was part of our communications upgrade. We had some challenges, and that was fixed, and part of that process was the ability to do the encryption. And it will eventually, if I remember correctly, this had something to do with emergency response with FEMA as well down the road. I might be completely off base or confusing
somebody else. You don't have to be encrypted. The sheriff's department is not encrypted. You can hear what they're doing.
They will eventually, all of these, in order to communicate on that bandwidth, will be on a similar situation. We just happen to be one of the first.
I'm going to disagree just a little bit because it was something they don't want people listening. Slo did it because too many people were showing up at events and they wanted to block them. And I know that I have a legal right to, there's a law now in California. I can send a thing over saying I need the encrypted code. So if I ask, they have to give it to me. But it's a personal choice. It's not something they have to do. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Chris today?
Hi, Karen. Hi, Chris. Hey, last night you guys introduced a draft report on the your urban water management plan.
Yes.
And 248 pages. I went over it this morning. There's a few key things that I don't know. Is there going to be time to respond to this draft report on what's missing and what doesn't need to be in there?
Yes. I think this is coming back a couple of times before we pass the final.
And I'll just give you an example of what I'm talking about. So you turn to one page and there's a chart, then you got to go two other pages to get some more information, then you got to go six more pages this other way. Why can't they put everything that belongs to Nacimiento on one page or two pages that's all about Nacimiento? Or everything that's about the basin, whether it's the Atascadero Basin or the Paso Basin, or so on and so forth. You know, there's one little tiny paragraph about the lawsuit, and they've spent at least $5 million on it, but they don't tell the public that lives in Paso Robles. Their money they're spending to not use the Nacimiento water is over $4 million for principal and interest a year, Paso Robles, to not use it. And they have $18 million in the budget this fiscal year for maintenance and repairs of the Nasi pipeline. And that's not even including using water. And if you use the water, it's about $3,000 an acre foot. So if you were to use 6,000 acre feet, I'd be $18 million, not counting all those other fees I just mentioned. And you would save 6,000 acre feet in the basin. And then if you cleaned it and recharged it, you would add 6,000 feet to the basin. So who really is the problem? And it's all about management. There's not a problem with water. Your person last night said, we don't have a water problem. Why did the city file for prescription saying that there was a problem if we don't have a problem?
They, if I remember correctly from previous meetings, they filed for prescription just in response to the Steinbeck lawsuit?
We weren't filing for prescription of any amount of water. We were filing a quiet title action is to make sure that nobody has any rights to anything on our land. We didn't tell anybody how much water they could or couldn't use.
So just for the listeners' benefit, prescriptive water rights only come into play when there's a shortage. And that if a judge adjudicates how much water entities get. Greg, in your opinion, who gets priority rights? Would the city get priority rights with, and I think they have, what, 1,300 acre-feet of water?
They get 1,266 acre-feet is what their prescription is. And so there's what's called the safe annual yield. The safe annual yield, if it's not all being used by the overliers, the people that live on private wells, then that extra amount they're not using is called surplus. If there's no surplus, then you can only use your other water that's available to you. In the case of Paso, would be Nacimiento or Salinas River, and that's called supplemental water. Now, if we're having a shortage, like they say, because of Sigma, and they want to blame it on the DWR, and then the DWR says no, the county and the city say we have a problem. The courts never said we had a problem, so. You know, they're playing a game on getting grant money, claiming we have a problem. The state's already said they're not coming here because we've already managed everything what we're supposed to do. So if the overliers have the priority right, as you're claiming there's no surplus, then you can only use your prescriptive amount. And why isn't their prescriptive amount and all of this stuff written into this plan since it's about the basin water and what's available?
It's a good point.
Hey, Greg, I thank you very much for calling in. We have one other caller waiting. Thank you for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Chris today?
Hi. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so my personal opinion is what we really need to be talking about today are the upcoming elections. There are, we have an opportunity to change who's on the city council, the direction of the city council, the mentality of the city council, by who we elect. So I'm encouraging anybody and everybody to step up and run. If you see a need to change, please step up, run for a seat, and try to make a difference, because so far, a couple of people that I see who are running are going to be the same mentality that we have right now. One of them in particular is very connected here in the city, and he will do what I believe is other people's bidding, for instance, rather than for the voice of the people. So please pay attention to the elections. Encourage anyone you know to step up and run for a council seat that in their district and try to make a change.
Well, thank you for that. I think, it's always best to have an engaged electorate. People are intimidated about, how to run. Should I run? I have an open door policy. If you think you might want to run for any seat, including my own, please come talk to me. I would love to talk with you. We'll have a cup of coffee and we can answer questions. It's a good process that we have, but it only works if people are engaged and people take advantage of it.
Well, and we have in the past and certainly ongoing now, we have a city council that is unresponsive to the public, and a lot of the public sees that and just stands back and says, I really don't want to be a part of this. I'm not going to engage in this and get involved in this. And that's just so wrong, where you can step up and make a difference.
I agree, and especially if you have a listening city council that will then take what the citizens are telling them and communicate that back to the city manager. I think we have a great city manager, a great assistant city manager, who are now willing to listen to the city council. We just need the right direction and better direction about what the citizens of Paso Robles want. I think that as paid parking indicates, that's still lacking in some cases.
I agree. And just going back for just one second, is that I think that you have to remember about the way that things happen with the parking program and Ty Lewis and all of that. You have to ask yourself, who was in bed with who? And if that isn't clear to most people, then they've been living in a home somewhere where they haven't been paying attention, because most of us know who exactly was in charge and how all of this happened, and we can't let it happen again.
If we do, it's our own fault for allowing us for that to happen. So we have to, but you have to vote, you have to get involved, you have to speak up at meetings, you have to be communicative and show up. Someone's not going to do it for you. You have to do it yourself. We
yes.
all do.
And speaking up at meetings is primary, because I said this on KPRL the other day. You can write all the emails in the world. You can put an article on Cal Coast News. You can do all of those kinds of things, and they mean nothing until you stand there in front of the city council or whatever other group you might choose and call them out on their behavior.
I think you just hurt Karen's feelings. You're right. And even if you show up to council meetings, you get ignored sometimes. It took literally hundreds of people showing up at city council to make a dent in city council's thought process on paid parking. That shouldn't have taken that much effort. I'm sorry. City council should have been more responsive.
Well, and when you stand up sometimes at city council and you ask a question, you don't get an answer. And I have to say, at least Steve Martin used to write down the question, and when everything was over and done with, he'd do his best to get you an answer. John Hammond doesn't do that, but John Hammond has an agenda, and that agenda is to protect the backside of everybody he supports and ignore the people.
With that, Jan, thank you very much for the call. We got a couple other things we want to cover real quick before we get off the air, but thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And we have about a half a minute.
We have 4th of July coming up. We have lights on in the downtown park. Those timers are being fixed. Call me if you want. We have Spaceport is making progress. Our airport is making great progress. There are some issues that we need to come back and revisit, maybe on another show we can talk about.
Thank you very much for coming on the show, and thank you for calling in.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.